ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 34. Sattam visuddham shrayate bhavan stito sharirinam shreya upayanam vapu vedakriya yoga tapas samadhibhis tavardhanam yena jana samahate. Obligation. Translation. O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies, beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. Please repeat. O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies, beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18.3, Jagyadana tapa karma natyajam. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, charity, austerity, and all such prescribed duties are never to be given up. Yagyo danam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. Even one who is very much advanced in spiritual realization must still execute the Vedic principles. Even in the lowest stage, the karmis are advised to work for the sake of the Lord. Yagyartat karmanonyatra lokayam karma bandana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. The words jagyartat karmanaha indicate that while performing all kinds of duties, one should remember that these duties should be performed to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Svakarmana tamabhyarcha. According to Vedic principles, there must be divisions of human society. Chaturvarnyam maya shristam. There should be brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, and everyone should learn to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tamabhyarcha. This is real human society, and without this system, we are left with animal society. The modern activities of human society are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the activities of Gokaraha, cows and asses. Saiva Gokara. Everyone is acting in a bodily concept of life involving society, friendship, and love for the improvement of economic and political conditions. And thus, all activities are enacted in ignorance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to teach us how to act according to the Vedic principles. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preached that in this age, the Vedic activities cannot be systematically performed because people are so fallen. He gave this recommendation from the Shastras, Harayanama, Harayanama, Harayanama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore teaching people all over the world how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And this has proved very much effective in all places, at all times. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in order to teach us Vedic principles intended for understanding Him. Vedaischa sarvairaham eva vedya. We should always know that when Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appeared, they appeared in Shuddha Satta bodies. One should not mistake the body of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a material body like ours. For Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as needed for the benefit of the entire human society. Out of causeless mercy, the Lord appears in different ages in his original Shuddha Satta transcendental body to elevate human society to the spiritual platform upon which they can truly benefit. Unfortunately, modern politicians and other leaders stress the bodily comforts of life. Yasyatma buddhi kunape trita tuke, and concentrate on the activities of this ism and that ism, which they describe in different kinds of flowery language. Essentially, such activities are the activities of animals, saeva gokara. We should learn how to act from Bhagavad Gita, which explains everything for human understanding. Thus, we can become happy even in this age of Kali. Such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So the Lord appears yuge yuge, again and again. And when the Lord appears, he appears as he is. He doesn't accept a material body like us. So that is explained here by the words Satam Vishuddham Shrayate Bhavan. During the time of Stiti, Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, material nature is existing in three conditions. Srishti, creation, Stiti, maintenance, and pralaya, dissolution. So in the time of the maintenance of the universe, the Lord appears in his original transcendental form. Those who are uninformed of his transcendental nature mistake him to be an ordinary human being or a great personality, and they deride him, as explained in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashitaha. Because I appear in a human form, human-like form, those who are mudha or foolish, they think that I am one of them. So sattam vishuddham, purified state of existence. This is also mentioned in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Shiva is talking to his wife Parvati. Very often quoted and famous verse, sattam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam yad iyate tatra puman apavritam. Lord Shiva says that I am always worshipping the Lord, meditating upon the Lord in pure Krishna consciousness. It is in the state of Vishuddha Sattva existence that the Supreme Lord's existence is revealed. So everyone is very eager. I would like to see God. I would like to see Krishna. This can be done, but one must come to the platform of Sattam Vishuddham, which is called the Vasudev platform, Vasudeva Shabditam. Yad yate tatra pumana pavritam. There the Lord appears uncovered in his transcendental form. So Krishna's father, his name was Vasudev, and Krishna appeared from Vasudev and Devaki. This indicates that Krishna can be realized when one comes to the platform of Sattvam Vishuddham. So while looking over this verse and purport in preparation for this class, I was struck, as I often am, quite a lengthy purport, how many times Srila Prabhupada quoted from Bhagavad Gita. So many quotes from Bhagavad Gita and also Srimad Bhagavatam. One of Srila Prabhupada's major themes of preaching was that although human society now considers itself to be very advanced with technological advancements, communication and transportation, etc., Srila Prabhupada would say it is just a polished animal civilization. Well, Prabhupada would never speak his own personal opinion, but whatever he would speak, he would back up by quotes from the Shastra. And he said this was the way of Vedic presentation. If one wants to speak in learned circles, whatever he says must be backed up by a quote from the Shastra so that his speech is to be considered authoritative. So we see that Prabhupada always did like that. So why did he call our modern contemporary civilization an animal civilization? Actually, people would not easily appreciate this. Of course, Bombay is a little bit of a mess. I was talking to Bhima Prabhu, head of the Mumbai BBT, on the phone. He had read that Mumbai is considered one of the worst cities in the world. But even if you go to a very nice city like Singapore, still Prabhupada said this is just polished animal civilization. Of course, if you see the animals, the dogs in the street, the cows, and then you see at least the better class of human beings, how? How is this the same? Not at all the same. But Srila Prabhupada would always refer to this verse as he did in this purport. Yasya atma buddhi kunape trita tuke swadhi kalatradishu bhoma ijadi yatirta buddhi salile nakari chij janesha bigeshu saiva gokara. Those who think that this body is the self, they're no better than a cow or a donkey. So although that in many ways the human society is distinct from the dogs and the cats, but they share the most important thing in common: bodily conception of life. A big dog is thinking, I'm a big dog, all the smaller dogs will run if I come. And the big nations like America, they feel, I am very big American, all nations must be afraid of me. So what is the difference? So Srila Prabhupada often quoted this verse, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Bina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Upattayaiva Kalpate. If devotional service is not based firmly upon Shruti, Smriti, Purana, and Pancharatriki Vidhi, then there's no question of Aikanta Bhakti, pure devotional service. Instead, such concocted spirituality, utpattayaiva, it is just a disturbance to society. And that we see. There are many people that claim to be devotees or claim to be worshippers of God or spiritualists, but not in a way which is based upon Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatriki, Vidhi. It's like once I remember some years ago, I had given a class, Bhagavatam class, in the temple at Juhu, Radharasa Bihari temple. And afterwards, one man came up to me and said, oh, would you like to see God? Would you like to see Krishna? I said, of course. Can see Krishna here in the temple. No, I mean really in real form. Well, of course, everyone would like to see Krishna. If I can perfect my life in pure Krishna consciousness, perhaps after the death of this body, I can go to where Krishna is performing his pastimes, somewhere within the universe. He said, no, no, you just have to go to Pune. Then he gave an address. Somewhere in Pune, there's some man living, and he is the Bhagavan. I don't remember his name. And he had a little pamphlet. So, as Prabhupada explained, in India, there are so many gods, so many incarnations. People are so foolish, they don't want to worship Krishna or Ram. Instead, they want to concoct. So we see that Srila Prabhupada was very strictly always quoting from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and other shastras to back up his statements. When he would lecture also, if you see Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam classes, you'll see that practically every statement he makes, he'll quote a verse. Another major theme of Prabhupada was he was very free in calling non-devotees fools and rascals. Sometimes his disciples were a little disturbed. But he said, I am not saying like this on my own behalf. This is Krishna's statement. And again, Prabhupada quoted this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradamaha mayaya parita gana asuram bhavam ashritaha. So Prabhupada would say, if he's not a devotee, then he's one of these four. Lowest of men, mudha, means fools and rascals. So, Srila Prabhupada, another major theme, because everyone wants to learn so many things or learn the truth of reality. So Prabhupada would say, we accept just what Krishna says, that is reality, that is truth. Very simple. What Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that is true. And anything else, what people may concoct, that is not absolute truth. So here it says in this verse that the Lord appears, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya taratmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam binashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanartaya. I appear to annihilate the miscreants, to deliver the devotees, and to reestablish the principles of religion. So here it says, the demigods have appeared before Devaki because the Supreme Lord Krishna has manifested himself within her womb. So the demigods used to appear within the prison of Kamsa and offer their prayers to the Supreme Lord. So in this prayer, the demigods say, you bestow good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities, such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi. So the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees, they also appear within this world to give good fortune, bestow all good fortune upon the conditioned souls. I was just thinking how Srila Prabhupada, he went to America, and for almost 1 year, he struggled very hard, very poor conditions, with seemingly almost no result. So he would explain that every now and then he would go to the Scindia steamship offices and inquire, when is the next boat going back to India? But then he would think, no, let me stay some more time. What if Srila Prabhupada had got on a boat and gone back to India? My God. None of us would be here. None of these temples would be here. This is one thing that all of the devotees appreciate very, very much. If Srila Prabhupada had not appeared and preached Krishna consciousness, our lives would have remained in the most miserable condition. So, by good fortune, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are now chanting Hare Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that in this age, the Lord has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because we are so fallen in this age, he has just recommended that we chant the holy name of the Lord and that we teach others to chant. Now, I spent a couple weeks at the temple in Juhu before coming here. And one thing I was very pleased to see is that after going into the temple, of course, they have a large facility, they have arranged a japa point. So as people leave the temple, they're invited, come, sit down, take these beads, and chant one round of Hare Krishna mantra. And many, many people sit down and chant Hare Krishna. They're given the card and they're showed by devotees how to chant. So as we can see from this purport, this is very much in line with Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and so it is very, very nice. So in this age, we cannot perform all of the Vedic functions as they were done previously. So one may wonder, what about tapasya? What about charity? Well, Srila Prabhupada especially said we should be charitable to persons by liberal prasad distribution. Prabhupada always wanted that whoever came to the temple, they would get some prasad. And tapasya, Srila Prabhupada said sometimes that our tapasya is just to get along with one another. Now, there is not such tapasya, but in the beginning, actually, Srila Prabhupada underwent great tapasya to establish the Krishna consciousness movement. And his disciples also underwent some austerities. When I first came to Bombay in 1972, first time I had been in India, arrived at the airport. Of course, I was a relatively young devotee, only first initiated at that time, and came to Hare Krishna Land, which was a big field in the front overgrown with weeds, a small little temple with a tin roof, and some tenanted buildings in the back, of which ISKCON had possession of none. The ladies slept on the roof of one of these tenanted buildings, and there was a little kacha shack where the devotees would take prasad, sleep. There were no walls, as I remember, but there was just a roof and some pillars. The hired cook would smoke beedis while cooking for the devotees. There was only one tap of water, which was surrounded by a pool of green water with all. And when you would touch the tap, you'd get a shock because it was somehow connected to the electricity. And the toilets were just two outhouses, holes in the ground with some enclosures, one for men, one for ladies. And sleeping was pretty much outside. So this was a little austere. So ultimately, it said here, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Of course, Srila Prabhupada many times said, work now, samadhi later, because sometimes his disciples wanted to give up practical work and just sit and chant. But this is always condemned. for those in the neophyte position. So, from my own personal experience, I found in the beginning, especially the regulated life in the temple, to be quite difficult, quite austere. Some devotees, because they must have made great advancement in previous lives, even though they were not at all devotees, Western people, not at all devotees, but when they met Prabhupada or when they met the devotees, when they moved into the temple, they immediately loved everything, immediately found everything to be amrit or nectar. But for me, it was a difficult struggle. So when I first came to India, I became very sick in Bombay. So the president, Giriraj Swami, took mercy and said, well, why don't you go to Calcutta? At least they have a building. So I went there. And then after some time, I became engaged as pujari. So I was finding Krishna conscious life very difficult. But when I was a pujari, after a very short time, I thought, oh, this is very good. I can absorb my mind in many ways. Everything was in a shambles. The dresses, the jewelry, just kind of all thrown together and all very mediocre. So I started making dresses for, I was dressing first the small deities of Radha Krishna, going out to buy jewelry, and I had to collect money also. Then I learned how to sew the small dresses, then dressing the deities, doing the arati. So it was the first time I felt a little satisfied that I feel fully engaged. But then after some time, I saw that that was also not enough to raise me to the Vishuddha Sattva platform. So a devotee recommended, why not learn the verses of Bhagavad Gita? Study Bhagavad Gita very carefully. So I started doing that. And in the beginning, it was quite difficult because Sanskrit was very strange to me. But after some time, I found this very, very transcendentally pleasing. Srila Prabhupada talks about this, that even though we are firmly situated in the bodily conception of life, still, as soon as we come into the temple, we feel the spiritual atmosphere and we become pleased at heart. Similarly, he would recite the verses in Sanskrit from the Srimad Bhagavatam each day. Say, maybe you don't understand, but still just to hear the vibration, it is transcendentally purifying and pleasing. Similarly, he would say about Vrindavan, that anyone who just enters Vrindavan, they'll immediately feel a spiritual atmosphere. So it is a fact that if one's mind is absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna or in studying or reciting Bhagavad Gita, then one is relieved from the blazing forest fire of material existence, of material thought. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that Indriyani paranyahu, indriyebhya param manaha, manasas tu para buddhi, yo buddhe paratas tu saha, that above the senses, above gross matter is the senses of the body, and above the senses of the body is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul, he, the soul. So, Srila Prabhupada would explain that basically we live within the mind. This we can practically experience if we think about it. Although we're always utilizing the body, we're mostly aware of our mind. Happiness and distress is experienced within the mind. So therefore, the poet Govinda Das has sung Bhajahure Mana, Sri Nandanandana, Abhaya Charanaravinda Re. My dear mind, please engage yourself at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, Abhaya Charanaravinda, whose lotus feet are award one fearlessness. And Srila Prabhupada commented on this song that Bhajahure Mana, he is addressing his mind because we must engage in Krishna consciousness with the cooperation of our mind. In Bhagavad Gita, it says the mind can be the worst enemy of the conditioned soul or his best friend. When the mind is absorbed in thoughts of sense gratification, then the mind is the greatest enemy. But when the mind is absorbed on the transcendental platform, then it is the greatest friend. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is described, Mahatma, Mahatmanas tu mam parta daivim prakritim ashritaha. The Mahatmas, they don't take shelter of the external energy. They are not bahirartha manina, thinking that there's great value in external objects. Daivim prakritim ashritaha, they take shelter of the internal potency, which is the devotional service of the Lord. And the devotional service of the Lord begins Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Pure devotional service means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. First, it begins with hearing. After hearing, one can chant, and by hearing and chanting, one remembers within the mind. So, buddhi yogam, tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamu bhajanti te. Krishna says, te sham satata yuktanam. To those who are always engaged, bhajatam priti purvakam, in my devotional service with love, with devotion, dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give them the intelligence whereby they can come back to me. So Krishna gives us the intelligence how to always keep the mind absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Of course, those who are very highly advanced, like Thakur Haridas, Rupa Goswami, they can chant Hare Krishna throughout the entire day and night. But we cannot chant like that, Durdaivam Idrisha, Ihajani Nanuraga. Due to our misfortune, we don't have such attraction. So by intelligence we can, and we see that this is the way of the acharyas. This is Srila Prabhupada's way. How much he studied Bhagavad Gita, how much he studied Srimad Bhagavatam, how much his every statement is linked and backed up by statements of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was engaging as a pujari, but then I thought my mind is still going to this, that. And then when I began to study Bhagavad Gita, I saw if I apply my mind very strongly, tivrena bhakti yogena, it is said in Bhagavatam, doesn't matter who you are, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udaradi. If you're udaradi, very smart, very intelligent, broad-minded, tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param, then you will strongly engage in devotional service. So I found it difficult to strongly go out and make life members. to strongly distribute books, to strongly be a temple manager, but I found that this Shravanam Kirtanam of Bhagavad Gita, I like doing that. So I studied Bhagavad Gita very carefully, very intensely, and that gave me great satisfaction, and at least to some degree, it kept me a little bit away from, my mind away from Bahirartha Manina, thinking of the external objects as being very wonderful. So that is my humble recommendation for those, especially those who are inclined in such a way, to always remain in Krishna consciousness, study Bhagavad Gita first and Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully, and learn the verses that Srila Prabhupada quoted again and again. This will make one's preaching very strong and effective. Understand very carefully that this temporary body is not the self. Try to explain this to others. Chant Hare Krishna as japa with as much attention as possible, avoiding the offenses, and teach others to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Because it is a fact, anyone who chants Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, they will feel a purification of their existence. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. And the forest fire of material existence will subside. Of course, some people, maybe many people, they don't want to purify their existence. So let them be. Give everyone the opportunity, and those who desire, then they will get a great benefit from that. So thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.